From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, December 18th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Toksik Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Today, we talk with Ed Schoenfeld, who has put together a special, The Way It Was, the Best of the Bluescast, which will air on KTOO on January 1st. The Bluescast was a news comedy troupe mostly led by the amazing Jeff Brown that started right here at KTOO. We also check in with DJ Kelly from KXLL about what's happening over on our sister station, and from Cheryl Snyder, who shares with us some of the amazing holiday programming coming over the next few weeks on KRNN and KTOO. And we look forward to spring semester with University of Alaska Southeast Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And tomorrow is the day. Join us in the KTOO studio for a special holiday episode produced with the help of Zach Pease, a special projects coordinator over at the Jack. It's a Friday afternoon, December 19th at 3 p.m. We have performances from Vox Borealis, A Christmas Carol. We've got live jazz with Luke Weld and Heather Mountcastle. Conversations will include reason for the season, plus a little snow science. No reservation required. We ask that you arrive by 2:45, as we will go live right at 3. That's Friday, December 19th. Come celebrate the holidays with your favorite public media station, KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
And now, a commercial about an exciting new movie from Endless Rain Productions. They were the scourge of Southeast Alaska, rootless and without homes. They paddled the length and width of the panhandle, spreading terror in their path. They were Hell's Kayakers. With their motto, born to be wet, tattooed on their arms, and their colors blazed on their Gore-Tex jackets, the kayaker mamas straddled on the back deck. No town was safe from their wrath.
Hey, the local health food store is all out of granola. Let's tear this town apart!
Witness the shocking initiation rituals of
Hell's Kayakers.
Okay, let's do Eskimo rolls, and anybody that comes up loses the game.
Witness their love affair with their equipment.
Now, you see, this kayak has a triple-thickness Kevlar hull with flared ends and a platinum self-adjusting computer-controlled rudder system.
Witness their macho tests of physical skill.
Okay. We're going to portage across Chilkat Peninsula, and we're going to do it without once getting out of our kayaks.
Yeah! Witness their wild nights of sensual pleasure.
Is that an extra large spray skirt you're wearing, or are you just happy to see me?
They were the law unto themselves. No one could stop them, and no one could challenge their wake of destruction when the
Hell's Kayakers
paddled in, coming soon to an outdoor float-in theater near you.
You You are listening to Community Support at Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Hell's Kayakers from the Blues Cast. From 1979 through 2012, the Blues Cast, or 20th Century Blues Cast, was Alaska's news comedy group. For over 30 years, it was a send-up and commentary on the news and issues of the day. Former KTOO superstar Jeff Brown was a founder. Over the years, more than two dozen performers took part in the Blues Cast, including performers such as Ron Clark, Ed Schoenfeld, Lori Scandling, Glenda Carino, Barnaby Dow, Terry Harvey, Steve Nelson, Elaine Garner, Mo Hicks, Molly McCammon, Sharon Gateman, Gina Spartz, Tom Paul, Peter Kenyon, among so many others. And now, Ed Schoenfeld, along with the help of Mike Sicarius, has put together a one-hour special celebrating the show. It's called The Way It Was, The Best of the Blues Cast. And it will air on KTOO on January 1st, a great way to kick off the new year, at 3 p.m. with a re-air at 7, basically right here in the Juneau afternoon slot on New Year's Day. Ed joins me now in the studio to share more about the Blues Cast and this special. Gunath Chishwasiati, Ed, thanks for coming in, telling us about this.
Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about all this silliness.
Of course, it's so great. I mean, these kind of groups, you know, they tend to fade over the years, but this one lasted 30 years. Can you tell me a little bit about the beginning of this group and how you got involved?
Well, I wasn't there at the beginning, but essentially a small handful of people, Lori Robert Scandling, Jeff Brown, Dave Hammack, and I think one or two other people did the first Blues Cast in 1979 as a radio program. Mm. And it had the elements it continued to have. It had the main center at the beginning was basically phony newscasts. You know, we would play around with names of state departments or people. So,
yeah.
You know, Governor Sheffield became Governor Shelflife and right. Goes on and on and on. There were very few people, prominent people, who escaped having their name messed with and their priorities. And it included songs and skits and phony ads, just like the Hell's Kayakers one you just heard.
Yeah.
And quite a bit. And it continued as a radio show for a few years. And at some point in the early-ish 1980s, I had joined, and I think actually Jeff went off to college for a few years, so he's gone for a while, and I came up with the idea of putting it on stage. Mm. And so the members at the time tried that out. Sometimes we would open for acts. We were part of the Alaska Folk Festival almost every year from, I think, 82, 83 on, and that's where a lot of the recordings come from. And it just continued. I was a writer, an actor, a singer. It depended. We had a group of people and we all worked together. So, for example, the skit we just had, I was thinking, who wrote that? Well, it was probably Carl Olds, who was the first voice you heard. It might have been me because I play the narrator's role. I don't know. it might have been Jeff, might have been somebody else, because
right.
It didn't really make any difference. But we would, I guess, as people said a decade or two ago, we would workshop the ideas. We would get together and we'd throw out things that just weren't working and improve things that were. And we had things in it that really needed a lot. I mean, we tried to have not a joke that comes at the end of 3 or 4 minutes, but a joke. We didn't have a time, but, you know, every 30 seconds or so if we
right.
could. So, for example, when we did a takeoff on Star Wars called Salmon Wars, which is part of this best of show, we have actually two episodes that's in this program we're airing on New Year's Day. We needed to come up with names for everybody. So Luke Skywalker, I think, became Luke Gilnetter, and Obi-Wan Kenobi became Obi-Wan Week opening.
Right.
Because it was all about fisheries.
Right, right.
And Darth Vader was Darth Saner, and on and on and on. Nobody got away without having some sort, even if they were a robot, having some sort of joke name.
That's so funny.
So we just, you know, we'd work on them and we'd perform them. A lot of the stuff we did, we only did once.
Hmm.
Some stuff we did repeatedly because while the Folk Fest was sort of the main venue, we always did K2 Live Day. If it was happening, we did for a reason which still is a little strange to us or to me. We did a lot of conferences. We were the entertainment for like the Library Association and the bankers. And Jeff and some other people would get together with the people who were organizing the event and find out what the in-jokes were and what people were talking about and then write skits based on them.
I see, yeah. I
mean, and so, you know, yeah. But it was always changing.
Yeah. So did you get together like once a month, or how did you keep track of what was going on? Were people always pitching ideas? This is in the days before email, so people are calling and...
Well, it was less formal than that.
Yeah, okay.
It was kind of when we had a gig coming up, we'd get together.
I see.
But folks were always going. At one point, I think everybody in the Blues cast worked at K2, mostly the newsroom. So myself, Molly McCammon, Laurie Scandling, Carl Oles, we're all there in the newsroom, and Terry Harvey, who wasn't a news person, but actually was the one actor in the group, maybe a few other people like Ron Clark, had done acting beyond this sort of thing. And, you know, we'd run into each other, and we'd just get ideas, and we'd shoot them down, or we'd build them up.
Mm.
And over the years, as people left the news business and went to work for the legislature or another organization, I was the only person who actually stayed in the news business all the way through it, I think.
Mm.
Could be wrong there. But, you know, we would meet not at K2 but somewhere else. I remember rehearsing once, I think, at my church just because it was the place everybody could go to. And they had a piano in a room that we could use. But we went through a lot of different people. I think the largest group we had was, I think, one folk festival. We might have had 10 or 12 people on stage. And sometimes it was just three or four. It depended on who was available and what was going on we could make fun of. And so the challenge of putting together this best of kind of documentary or collection was finding stuff, one, that was funny, two, that people might understand because it was very, very dated. I mean, it was generally about things that happened within the last month or few months. So some of the skits are kind of timeless. But I went through a lot that I personally remembered being funny. And I wasn't there for all the Blues cast, but I was there for the majority of it. And I listen and I say, yeah, that's funny, but you had to read the newspaper for a week in 1987 to actually get these jokes. And there's stuff in there that people won't get, but it's okay. There's still some good jokes.
Right, absolutely.
I think most of it people will get. And it's a lesson in Alaska history.
Yeah, for sure.
Several decades of Alaska history.
Well, I want to play one more skit here. This one I remember because I was growing up. And, you know, it's called Wally World, right? And I think we all remember when that happened, and that was a big one. People who have grew up here would remember this, I think. So let's take a quick listen to this skit from the Blues cast about Wally World, then we'll talk more with Ed.
We've got oil, we've got gas, we've got a pipeline up our past right here in Wally World. We've got riches, we've got dreams far beyond our wildest schemes right here in Wally World. Well, if you think independently, you can get yourself the governor's seat. Well, you can do anything you please right here in Wally World. We've got lots of land for you. I think we got a caribou right here in Wally World. But you better see it quick before it's covered by a slick right here in Wally World.
Everybody!
Well, if you think developmentally, you can get yourself a commissioner seat. You can do anything you please right here in Wally World. Ooh, baby, baby, it's a Wally World. It's hard to get by if you're a Democrat. Girl. But if you think independently, you can get yourself the governor's seat. You can do anything you please right here in Wally World. Right here in Wally World.
Hey, gang, it's Walter.
Right here in Walter World.
That is one of the Blues cast skits, Wally World. Wally Hickel, former governor. There was a lot of jokes about him at the time, and Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing to think back to all of the political satire. Obviously, you were also making fun of other things, just about being, like you were talking about fishing and things like that. Do you think a group like this could exist today?
Sure.
And why doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. I still, Raleigh Woodford and I and a couple other people still have the Empty Oil Barrel Band, which started around the same time, I mean, within a few years, but it was music-only act and different, generally different people. There was a little overlap. And we're still going with political satire. And there are a few other people out there that do it. There's some Anchorage area musicians who have some pretty funny stuff that it's more music. But in terms of a news comedy group like this, I'm not sure if there's anything out there now in Alaska, but my guess is there is. We just don't know about it because these things tend to grow organically. That's how it worked with us. And honestly, if Jeff's health was what it was, and if a couple of our members hadn't left town, we might still be doing
probably
it today.
Still going. So it ended in 2012.
I think.
Yeah, you think
that's
around
the last
time.
Recording I could find and the last listing in the folk festival programs. We might have done something after that, but that was pretty much it.
I see. Okay. Yeah, it's a wonderful remembrance. It's so cool to look back and do all of these rememberings of past, associations like this. I mean, it's 30 something years you did. Mm-hmm. 30 something years of this.
That's the evidence I found.
And you culled it down, and mm-hmm. you talked a little bit about that editing process. Did you have to cut some stuff that you might do in another version, or did you find some things?
Yeah, there was some material that had words you're not supposed to say on the radio.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But there was also material, I kind of came up with a draft of it. And then I redid the whole thing because listening to it, either things didn't go together or I thought, well, such and such had a similar topic focus but was funnier or had a better recording. I mean, there's stuff I have that was very funny that the recording quality is just lousy and you couldn't understand it.
Oh, I see.
Mike saved what he could, but there was some just, it kind of felt like you were playing a record that didn't have a little thing to put the hole into. The time sped up and slowed down.
Right.
The reason I decided to do this, and it's a much longer story than we should go into of how this started, was once it came up, is this was part of Alaska history, and I'm really into Alaska history, and a lot of people are, and it just would cease to exist. And it took a couple tries to get started because these recordings were off in boxes and people's houses. And somewhere somebody probably still has a binder of the scripts. I got rid of mine when I moved because it was a box full of paper I would never use again, mm-hmm. although I kind of felt sad about that. So not only did I put this together, but this will go into the Juneau Douglas City Museum archives and the Alaska Music Archives, which is a statewide digital music archive based out of Palmer, I think, which just has everything, school performances and rock groups and folk groups, and I'm not sure what else. But not only do I have this, but I have recordings of a couple other specials that were put together, including audio from a 90-minute show we did at Perseverance Theater, kind of the most produced people we ever had. Might have had 15 people on stage.
Oh, wow.
It was great. I didn't know how it would turn out, but it was a lot of fun. And also, I have every recording I could find and can clean up so it's listenable, or Mike did that, Mike Sicarius. That all will go into those archives.
Oh, that's so fantastic because it really is like something that maybe people hadn't heard, maybe the people new to Juneau mm-hmm. or have been around, but maybe forgot that it existed. And so it's really great mm-hmm. to sort of unearth these recordings, make something out of them, put a special mm-hmm. together, and have that warmth come about in our hearts to remember this wonderful group.
And I hope there's somebody out there or somebody's who are inspired by this to say, hey, I could do that, but I could do it better or I could do it more current because, our current governor's administration is certainly our current federal administration, and sometimes we bounced off to national and international news. all deserve making fun of.
Yeah, for sure. We need to get Pat Race involved or something, you know?
Well, Pat kind of did his own version of this as a TV show for a while.
Yeah.
And won some awards for it. It was very good, but, you know, takes a lot of time.
It takes effort, for sure, but it's worth it. Well, this is a special. It's called The Way It Was, The Best of the Blues Cast. It will air on KTOO on January 1st, a great way to kick off 2026. It'll air at 3 p.m. with a re-air at 7 p.m. Ed Schoenfeld put this together. Really, thank you for coming in, Ed Gunathichish, for being here and telling us about this. We're going to listen to one more episode or skit, I guess, from this, the State Office Building Olympics, the SOB Olympics. But thanks for coming in, Ed. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. This is the Bluescast here on Juno Afternoon.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're back in the red tape decorated atrium of the State Office Building in beautiful downtown Juneau for the 12th annual SOB Olympics. Right now, we're in the final stages of this year's competition. Frank, why don't you give us a recap?
Thank you, Howard. Well, it's been an exciting week. We've seen one team after another eliminated as they've fallen behind in points. Right now, it's a free-for-all between the strongest contenders, the Department of Environmental Conversations, the Department of Health and So-Called Services, and, of course, the Department of Unnatural Resources, the Department of Commerce and Unrestrained Development, and the Department of Community and Everybody's Affairs. Howard?
Thank you, Frank. I must say, we have seen some sterling performances this week. 2 days ago, in the quitting time event, Unnatural Resources was able to clear its entire staff out of the building less than 30 seconds after 5:30. Frank?
Amazing. Thank you, Howard. Not to mention that Commerce and Unrestrained Development set a new world's record for elevator stuffing and that Environmental Conversations was able to maintain a lunchtime table at El Sombrero for the last 6 days running. Howard?
Thank you, Frank. Before we get into the day's events, we'd like to speak briefly to one of the SOB's top athletes, champion fiscal analyst Lisa Lineitem. Lisa, how has the year been for you?
Pretty busy, Howard. First, Hammond wanted us to cut 5% out of the budget. Then Shelflot came in and he too wanted 5%. Then he came back and said another 5%. Now the legislature wants to cut 5%. I tell you, I'm all warmed up for the budget-cutting marathon. I've got legal pads piled up, my pencil sharp, and my calculator plugged in, and I can cut faster than you can say new revenue projections.
Thank you, Lisa. We'll be looking forward to that event. Now we'd like to talk to one of the oldest, if not the oldest, contestant, Bob Turf Protection of the Division of Relative Obscurity. Bob, how do you think you're going to do this year? Bob? Bob!
Well, Sonny, I tell you, I've been a bureaucrat for some 45-odd years now, and while I'm not as spry as I used to be, I can still run paper circles around these young whippersnappers and political appointees. I can lead them on such a paper chase, they'll never know where they'll come out.
Thank you, Bob. That's the spirit we like to hear. In the past few days, we've witnessed some hard-fought battles in the paper shuffle and pass-the-buck competitions. Today, we discover the true test of a bureaucrat's mettle with the Lose That Application Championship. Frank?
Thank you, Howard. In the center of the lobby, we have a half-dozen identical desks with a half-dozen identical bureaucrats sitting behind each one. On top of each desk is an application. The object is to lose that application faster than any other competitor. They're about ready to start. It's 1, 2, 3, go! Oh, my goodness, why, I don't believe it. One of the contestants is signaling already. Well, the judges are rushing over. They're searching the desk. They've given up. They can't find it. That application was hopelessly lost in 0.2 seconds. A new world's record. Howard! Amazing!
Thank you, Frank. That appears to be all we have time for. Before we sign off, I'd like to review some of the prizes that await the winners. They have a choice of either 2 Amigo or 2 Aloha tickets, a lateral promotion, a cubicle overlooking the Gastineau Channel, and a blind date with the governor. The grand prize, incidentally, is a 1-week all-expenses-paid trip to Anchorage. Second prize is 2 weeks all-expenses-paid trip to Anchorage. Don't forget to join us tomorrow for what's probably the most exciting event of the entire week, marathon memo riding.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha ani kak. Gunish cheese.
We wish you Sigul kiss was. We wish you Sigul kiss was. We wish you Sigul kiss was. And I think it's New Year. Our hearts wish you good cheer today and always. We wish you Sigul Kiswas and a Tlingit New Year. Now bring us some smoked salmon. Now bring us some smoked salmon. Now bring us some smoked salmon and crackers right now. Our hearts wish you good cheer today and always. We wish you Sigul Kiswas and a Tlingit New Year.
That's a little Ed Littlefield with We Wish You a Sigul Kiswas. Kiswas. Christmas. Yeah, same. It's all good. We love Ed Littlefield. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And Ed's songs are in the mix. Ed's songs are in the mix over on KXLL for some holiday music. It's awesome. Holidays and the new year are upon us. And KTOO and its sister stations have a variety of programming coming your way to celebrate. I'm joined now by KTOO Vice President and General Manager of KTOO Music and Arts, Cheryl Snyder.
Hi, Boston. So fun to be here with you on such a festive week of things happening.
It's a wonderful week. And then we also have Kelly Icardi, KXLL's Community Engagement Producer.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, you're also the host of Passenger Princess.
I am, yes.
Which airs at Wednesday through Friday at 4 p.m. on KXLL. So Gunath Cheesh for being here.
Thank you.
So I know on KTOO, you know, we're having our big Juno Afternoon special tomorrow, but this is always a fun time of year because it gives you the opportunity to have so many different kinds of programs, Cheryl, that, I mean, we always have our wonderful volunteers on KRNN. We have more volunteers coming on KXLL. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But tell me a little bit about how you think about the programming for the holidays, Cheryl.
Yeah, so we want to try to reflect all of the things happening in the season, and some of them are religious in nature. This week is Hanukkah. Christmas is days away as well. This is also a time to celebrate Kwanzaa. Solstice is another really big one. And so combination of our local volunteers and our national partners, there's a whole host of special programming that we can offer. And so Craig George put together the holiday schedule this year with a bunch of different offerings. And Craig George is our operations manager for those who don't know him or haven't heard him on the air. And so what we think about is like what's going to help make this holiday feel a little bit more special and reflect the mood that everybody's in right now.
I see. And I do have, for those who are on the stream, I have the page. You can find all of this over on KTOO.org/2025-holiday-programming. There's also a big button right on the homepage. You just hit that on the homepage at kto.org. It'll take you to this page. And it has, I mean, we're talking, there's probably 30 some odd programs on here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, so what we've done, when you see that program schedule, every single day there's something special happening, either something nationally that we have specifically programmed or something. We've got a lot of local productions, which I'd love to be able to hit on it in just a sec. But also know, even if it's not on the schedule, in general, like all of the national hosts, all the national programs have something themed for the season. We just don't necessarily have it in the list. This is just special programming that we've put in.
Right, for sure. Let's highlight
some. Yeah, so, well, of course, your big show tomorrow, Boston. We're so excited. I've been calling it an extravaganza. You may disagree that it's extravaganza level, Boston, but there's
a... It's pretty big. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow.
It's going to be great.
And that is live studio audience. If you're listening, you can come down tomorrow. Just get here by 2:45. Please join us in the audience. We'd love to have you.
So just highlighting some of the local things. On Sunday night, December 21st on KRNN, Robert Sewell has the programs Take 5 at 7 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock he rolls right into the late shift. Both of those are going to be themed for the holidays. Hot jazz for cool night, followed by I'll Be Home for Christmas. So local hosts there for you. December 23rd, that's Tuesday, we've got a handful of fun things happening on kind of all of our platforms. From 10 until noon, we have a very special two-hour talk of Alaska. This is the annual holiday greetings where people call in from all over the state, and it's always super fun. You hear all the personalities from, you know, some of the remote bush communities to Anchorage to Juneau, just people wishing each other different holiday greetings.
I love that show because it harkens back to when radio was the main way to communicate, and that it still exists warms my heart.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It's such a cool way to connect the state at this time. So that's going to air on KTOO at 104.3, 91.7 from 10 until noon, but we're also going to carry it on KTOO 360 TV. So if you've ever wanted to know what Steve Heimel, the host, looks like, it kind of looks like a skinny Santa Claus.
Yeah, for sure. That way.
But yeah, so that's really fun. And then also happening on December 23rd, from 5 until 7 on KRNN, we have Classic Country Christmas with our local host, Lori Cropley. Lori does an amazing classic country show every week, and she's super stoked to have it themed around Christmas next Tuesday. So that's going to be a really fun show. Rolling into Christmas Eve, we've got 11 until noon. We've got a national special that's really fun. But that is the day, Boston, we're going to do a rebroadcast of the special Juno afternoon tomorrow. We're going to do that on Christmas Eve from 3 to 4 with a repeat at 7 o'clock. So if you can't join us live in the studio, you can catch it next week on the air.
Awesome.
Yeah. Couple other fun things I want to highlight on Christmas night from 6 until 6:30 on KTOO News. We have a really fun production that was put together by the KRNN DJs and volunteers. It's called A Child's Christmas in Wales. This is an adaptation of the Dylan Thomas poem, and they just did a really terrific job. They created this a couple years ago, but it's voices and music and just a really sweet telling of Dylan and Thomas's work. So that's happening Christmas night. On KRNN, on that day, we have several great offerings on KRNN on Christmas Day. 8 until 10 a.m., John Sivertson, another local host, he produced a two-hour show called Christmas Truce. And this is about in World War I, 1914, on the Western Front. On Christmas Day, they held a truce, and there was all sorts of camaraderie happening across the battle lines. And the next day, the war was back on, but it was like this very special suspended moment in time. So he's done a show themed around that. It's mostly music with some historical context.
Very cool.
And that's going to roll, again, that's 8 a.m. Christmas morning on KRNN. That's going to roll right into Throwback Thursday with our local host, Ricky D. He is coming down here Christmas morning to be with you live in the studio. So that's going to be like, you got to listen. Ricky does such a great job, and you know he's going to bring a lot of fun that morning to the air. Happening Christmas night, it's the first of a three-night festival on KTOO TV. Who here remembers Trollfest from May?
Yeah.
So that was a really special thing that happened at Centennial Hall with Ray Troll and his family members, Aaron Heist and Patrick Troll. Well, we have three nights of that festival broadcasting on TV. So that starts on Christmas night and runs the next three nights after that. So that's super fun. And let's see. Another cool thing happening on New Year's Eve. We're going to broadcast on KTOO 360 TV the Princess Sophia Opera.
Oh, cool.
That was the Orpheus Theater Project did that production in 2018, and it was massive. It was huge. And we were able to be there with our video cameras and capture it. We're going to be broadcasting that on television December 31st, starting at 8 o'clock at night. And then finally, we just heard from Ed Schoenfeld all about the Blues Cast. So again, that's going to be broadcasting from 3 to 4 on New Year's Day with a repeat at 7. So this is just a smattering of some of the stuff. All of our DJs. Yeah, all of our DJs are doing cool stuff. And you can get all of this schedule on our website at ktoo.org. Just click on the special holiday programming button. So in other words, you got a lot of listening ahead of you.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that you have a special New Year's Eve situation going on. We have a big band coming into town, and you're going to have them on live that week, right?
Yes, yeah. So we are doing we're partnering with the Crystal Saloon for their two-day show with Blackwater Railroad. They're coming into town for 2 days, and they're recording their live album. So on the 29th, I believe, when the band gets to town, they're going to be coming on to Passenger Princess and going live. We're going to do a special one because that's a Monday. But very excited for that.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you also are putting in a lot of Christmas music into the KXLL mix, right? If I'm tuning around in my car, I can tune to KXLL 100.7 and like hear some cool music?
Yes, absolutely. I personally am not a huge music or Christmas music girly, but I can find ones that I like. So I have been kind of mixing them up, adding some extras. And then the ratio is different. I can program it differently for throughout the month. So when it gets to be like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, it'll be like heavy Christmas.
Jam-packed with Christmas.
Jam-packed,
music.
Yeah. But right now I'm just kind of filling it up with some other alternative indie things of classics that people like. And I am taking requests from our listeners. So
I love that. Now, yeah. Kelly, you have been here since, was it March?
Yeah.
March, mm-hmm. You started as KXLL's community engagement producer. And over the course of that, 9 months or so, so many things have happened. You did the zombie walk. You've partnered with other groups to do other events around town. And you also have increased the amount of DJs that are on the air at KXLL. Tell us a little bit about how you've been cultivating DJs and maybe highlight a few of the folks who've been coming in and doing that work.
Yeah. Well, I want to say also that I couldn't have done Zombie Walk without our volunteers, so it's really helpful. They're not just DJs. They help me out a lot, so I really appreciate that. We have, several DJs that are new on air. We have Aaron, who was on this morning at 6 a.m. for the early birds. I asked
wild.
Her to pre-record that one for me.
Yeah,
it's a little
yeah.
early for me. And then we've got Kyle. He's not going to be on this week because he's spending time with family, but he's on Friday nights. That's Captain Knot. He came back after the summer. excuse me. We have DJ Thagmeiser on Tuesday evenings from 5 to 7. That one's called Sports. And so she picks a different sport each time and then
wait, she
does
picks a themed music show
yes.
around a sport?
Yes. So
wow, that's
like
cool.
If it's basketball, she'll just find a bunch of songs about basketball or bouncing or things like that. She finds music to fill up a 2-hour show.
I love that.
It's really funny. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then of course we have Jesse on Mondays and Tuesdays from 3 to 5. And then we've got a whole new round of volunteers that are ready to be trained up in the new year. So really excited about that.
Yeah. So that work over there at KXLL has been going great for you.
It's been really fun. Yeah. Yeah.
what a good gig you have.
Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah. And then your show, Passenger Princess, is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 4 to 5, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you're interviewing bands or people who are coming into town.
Yeah. So the way that I kind of have designed it is I'm the driver, and then my guest has the aux cord, so they get to play music. So while we chat, we pick music together or ahead of time. If they don't want to, then I pick it because I can do that. But it makes it kind of a collaborative and fun experience between the guest and I. And then, you know, when you're a kid and you thought about, when I was a kid, I would think about calling the radio to make a request.
Yeah.
And that was so cool. So now that's my way of like, doing that now. So
I love that.
Yeah, so I feature all types of artists and people that have things coming up for events. So if you are interested, you can please reach out to me. You can go to kxll.org and there should be an email submission there. But yeah.
And if you also want to maybe even DJ a show, is that something
yeah.
people can reach out about?
Yes, absolutely. You can make it in time for the next training. You can apply to be a volunteer on our website as well. Up at the top, there is a drop-down, and there's a section for volunteers. So you just select KXLL, if that's what you're interested in, and then that'll come to me, and then we'll talk.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, it's such a wonderful, warm holiday season. You know, all these special programs, special music over at KXLL. I love that we're getting more volunteers in there and that you're collaborating out in the community for these special events. So you can look for that interview with Blackwater Railroad on Monday, December 29th. And you can go to KXLL.org. And do you have a list on KXLL.org of all the shows and the times of the different DJs?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do. And I want to say that I know that Jesse usually kind of does some themed shows around holidays. So Monday and Tuesday, she will probably be doing some holiday stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
But yes, on our website, we have a schedule of all of the current DJs.
Excellent. And Cheryl, of course, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for all the information on the shows coming over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Really fun. And again, super excited for the special Juno afternoon tomorrow.
Yes, please join us. Cheryl Snyder, Kelly Icardi, thank you so much for coming in. Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here. We're going to play a little Her with Christmas Time Is Here. That is in the mix
it
over
is.
On KXLL. You can find that at 100.7. Right?
Perfect. Yeah, 100.7, 101.7 FM.
There you go. Our KRNN's over at 102.7, or you can find everything at kto.org. All the links are there. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Celebrate the season with KTOO and Juno Afternoon with a special studio audience live show in the KTOO studio on Friday, December 19th at 3 p.m. Filled with performances, music, and more, it's a warm cup of the arts and culture of Juno, sure to lift your holiday spirits. No reservations required, but we ask you arrive by 2:45 p.m. as the show will go live at 3. That's Juno Afternoon with you and the audience, Friday, December 19th at 3 p.m. with your public media station, KTOO.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Final exams wrapped up last week, but education doesn't stop. With spring semester around the corner, the University of Alaska Southeast rolls forward into the new year, and leading the charge is Dr. Aparna Palmer, Chancellor, who joins me in the studio now. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'i Gudi. Nice to see you again, Aparna. How are you today?
Good, good. Nice to see you, too. Always fun to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. It's one of my highlights of the month, every month. So spring semester is literally around the corner. Like, we start, I mean, I guess everybody just got done. They get a few weeks off. What do they get, about a month?
Well, I think our students get about a month, and our faculty certainly get about that much time. Our staff get a couple of weeks, and so and then we're back. So,
is it too late to register for spring semester?
No, not at all. Especially if you want to register as a non-degree-seeking student, you can register right up to the first day of classes. So,
and I always like to mention this every time, but like the language classes, you can audit them for no charge, right?
Absolutely. Yep. And we are offering all three languages that are indigenous to Southeast Alaska this coming semester. And yes, you can audit them at no charge.
Oh, that's so great. Well, that's wonderful. I love that spring semester is happening. Was there any highlight for you this semester? What was your favorite thing about this fall?
Oh my gosh, there were so many fun things.
Put it would you on be the
hard,
spot.
Hard to choose one thing. I think the things that was really fun was hosting the UA Scholar event.
Mm.
So this is our chance to recognize scholars from high schools all around the state, bring them in to one of our campuses, and then spend time just recognizing them and celebrating their accomplishments.
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah, these are students who are going to graduate in the top 10% of their class.
Mm.
So they are recognized by the University of Alaska, and they are offered a $15,000 scholarship.
Wow.
To help support their education if they choose to attend one of the University of Alaska universities.
I see. Okay. Now, I also know that there's been some awesome recognitions of various different folks over the last couple of months here. We got to shout them out, right?
Absolutely. I'll start with Professor Hune Lance Twitchell. He is a professor of Alaska Native Languages. He's a writer. He's an artist. And he will receive a 2025 Rasmussen Foundation Project Award in the Literary Arts.
Oh, that's so great.
So he's working on a really interesting work that is centered around a family and its dynamics with respect to colonization.
Oh, wow. He's an Emmy Award-winning writer, too. He won an Emmy this year for Molly of Denali, which was fantastic.
Yeah, he is amazing. We are so blessed to have him as a member of our faculty at UAS, but we have many more amazing faculty as well.
And more that have awards. Let's shout out somebody else.
Okay. Well, we have Professor Lori Hagee. She is an assistant professor in education. She specializes in elementary education, and she just recently won a Governor's Arts Award for her contributions as an educator, as an artist,
And as an advocate for language revitalization using music.
Oh, that's so great.
So she's really interesting, unique, also another brilliant person that we have that is a professor.
I mean, you've been here, have you been here 2 years now?
I have been here 2.5 years.
2.5. And it's just, because when you read off these people's names and these awards that they get, it just reminds me of just how awesome the Juno community is. And you must have sort of seen that over these last couple years. I mean, does it give you warmth knowing that you picked the right job?
It just gives me goosebumps. You know, when I was applying for this position, I did a lot of research on the University of Alaska Southeast, and I was so impressed by the faculty we have there, by the staff we have there, by the programs that we are able to do. So even 2.5 years later, I continue to remain impressed, not only with UAS, but the entire Southeast Alaska community. There is so much brilliance here.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Now, I also know that there is this is big news, right? The presidential, this is the president of the whole UA system, is a job that is currently open.
Yes. So our current president, Pat Pitney, has announced her retirement.
Okay.
She would like to spend more time with her family and doing all of the different things that she loves outside of being a president.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Board of Regents wants to make sure that there is no gap between her retirement and the next president of the University of Alaska system. So they've employed a search firm, a national search firm, to assist them in gathering candidates for that position.
And is there going to be some sort of listening sessions or something that are going to be that people, that the community can say, hey, this is what we're looking forward to?
Yeah, actually, they've had several listening sessions already.
Already, okay.
Yeah, and they had it all across the three universities. So they started here at the University of Alaska Southeast. They went to UAF in Fairbanks, and then they went to Anchorage as well. However, you know, it's hard to capture everybody through those listening sessions, and so they do have an ability for people to fill out a survey online if they feel very strongly about wanting to contribute to the search. The search firm, it really, in their listening sessions, they wanted to know what characteristics, what qualities should the next president of the University of Alaska system have. And so you can actually search for alaska.edu/Prez, P-R-E-S. If you go there, you can actually submit that survey. I believe the survey closes tomorrow.
Okay. So, yeah, that's – but you can get in there.
Yep.
So it closes on December 19th, but you can give your feedback about what's going on there. When the search firm came in, I'm just – this is more my own curiosity here, but do they gather – is it faculty and students, and they do different sessions with each group?
Or? Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they will meet with the leadership at each university. They meet with faculty. They meet with staff. They also meet with students. So at each of those universities, they did that. And at each university, they meet with community members, especially community members who serve on the campus advisory councils.
Ah, okay.
And so they're invited to kind of come to a listening session. But as I mentioned, hard to capture everybody. And so this is why they have that survey link set up.
Well, I love that in the sense that, you know, there's I mean, a lot of people that may not even interface with the president of the university system. It's the whole system, right? So a student who may not even know what that position is to be doing. So it's nice that they get to be involved and learn about what that might be and how that would trickle down towards the work that they do, mostly interfacing with their professors and their, you know, the humanities people or the human resources, I guess is what I'm saying, like the admissions office.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if everyone knows how powerful a role the system president is. Mm. This is a person who helps set the direction for the entire university system.
Mm.
We have three amazing, distinctive universities, each with kind of a scope and strategies and a mission that is unique. unique, unique to where they are, who they are, what they want to achieve. And so being a president means that you really need to think about all three universities as well as the system office. You also report to the Board of Regents. So it's a very, very powerful position.
And not, you don't have to confirm or deny, but is that something you would ever be interested in doing?
I am very happy here being the chancellor of UAS.
Okay.
And really excited to see what candidates they will be able to bring in.
I love that. Okay. That's great. That's a great answer. I love that. So we also have some other things happening at the university. Fill me in. I know there's some events and some other stuff going on.
Yeah. So after we reopen in the spring, we will have our UAS Spring Career Fair. This has grown larger and larger each year. This year, it will take place on February 25th, and it is a chance for employers, not only in Southeast Alaska, but actually all over the state, to come and table and meet with our students. You know, at UAS, 87% of our students after graduation are employed in Alaska within 1 year.
Wow.
So 87% of them actually stay in Alaska. Many of them just stay in Southeast Alaska, and they serve the communities that they came from.
That's amazing.
Because that's a lot of our base. And so this is a chance for employers, whether it's a local employer, a local business, or agencies, to come and really like let our students know what opportunities they have. In some cases, they may be offering internships. In other cases, they may be offering or looking for people to fill full-time jobs. And this is our chance to really show our students all the opportunities they have to offer.
And is this something that businesses, organizations can apply to be a part of?
Yep. They just need to fill out a form. And so you can find more information with our career services office. And that can be found at career.uas.alaska.edu. And you can look for the career fair link.
Excellent. Okay, cool. What else is happening?
Well, just, you know, getting everything sort of closed down and getting ready for that winter break. And so, you know, grades were due today.
Oh, grades were due today.
So I know that our professors have been working really hard. Our students will know their grades in a few days.
Yeah.
You know, our facilities team is getting ready for kind of that break that we have. And then our student affairs and admissions teams are getting ready to welcome our new students. We get new students both in the fall and in the spring. So that's something that I'm really excited about.
And what are you planning for 2026? Do you have any New Year's resolutions for yourself, Aparna? Maybe something to do with those bugs that we love? Those little microbes.
I am making plans to spend some quality time with the tardigrades with the help of Julie Schramm, who is one of our professors who specializes in starfishes. Very, very cool professor, amazing teacher, and she has offered to help me kind of get the lab space set up so that I can work on some tardigrades.
Oh, my goodness. And if you don't know what tardigrades are, you got to Google it.
They are amazing creatures, and I feel really lucky that, you know, I'm one of the handful of people, let's say, in the world that gets to, you know, spend quality time with them.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Has spent quality time with them.
I love that. Dr. Aparna Palmer here from the University of Alaska Southeast, Chancellor. Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2026. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it. Gunath Cheesh to you as well.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me on the program. It's always a pleasure to be here, and it's so wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's the Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is Ketladi.
Ketladi.
That means seagull. And here's a sentence.
Ketladi dok kadak kanas hitch.
The seagulls fly out of the interior when fall arrives. Let's hear it again.
Kikindi.
Seagull. Gunashchichchune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow is the day. Join us in the KTOO studio for a special holiday episode of Juno Afternoon, Friday, December 19th at 3 p.m. We have performances from Vox Borealis, A Christmas Carol. We'll have live jazz with Luke Weld and Heather Mountcastle. We'll have conversations talking about the reason for the season. Plus, we have some folks talking about snow science and avalanche prediction, especially with all this snow happening. It's going to be a lot of fun to have that conversation. No reservation required. Just show up to the studio downstairs by 2:45 here at 360 Egan Drive. We will go live right at 3 p.m. That's tomorrow, Friday, December 19th. Come celebrate the holidays with us here at KTOO. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese!